The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Job, chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. But ask the beast, and they will teach you, the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or the plants of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you, who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind.
Thank you, Brad. For my sermon today, we have a very special event to celebrate. There are three individuals who want to join this congregation. Can you believe that? Not sure who they were talking to, but we're happy for that to happen. So at this time, I'm going to ask those three to come forward, please. You know who you are. Be bold. Come and be bold. Stand in front. There we go. There we go. So we have Marty Redman right here in the red, and we have the Wright family, David and Andrea. You heard Andrea give the children's sermon today. And you heard David do it last month, I believe. Yeah. Did it in place of. Marty's been attending for some time. He has his close friend with him today, Gina, that the men know from being at the morning breakfast on Tuesday. So, welcome to the three of you. We always give new members the chance to give a word or two. If they choose, you can pass. This isn't a forced sort of thing. Be relaxed. We're family. So pretend this is your family, because it is your family. And do you have any word to say to them? Anybody want to say anything? Marty, go ahead.
Well, this is Reuben's fault, because he said I had to give a speech. So I was going to start off 47 years ago, but I thought, don't want to steal that one, you know. But anyway, I'd just like to say I was drawn to St. Lucas because of the progressive people that are here and all the good work that's being done. And you all ought to be proud of yourself, pat yourself on the back, because you're doing awful good work for people that need it. But anyway, thanks. I'm humbled to be a small part of this church.
Hey, way to go.
Well, very similar sentiments with us. When we first moved here, I guess it'll be 2 years in July, you know, we had been attending a very similarly progressive UU congregation in South Carolina where we were, and we were very involved there, and we weren't sure if we would find somewhere here that was similar, and we did, and we're very happy about that.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Andrea spoke during the children's time, so you know her voice. It's great to have the three of you. We do have a couple of questions for you, which we always ask of new inductees. I will prompt you what to say and when. Do you, the three of you, desire to be received into the fellowship and membership of this congregation? You may say, if you choose, I do. Do you promise, by the grace of God, to be disciples of Jesus, to follow in the way of Jesus, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus as best you are able? You may say, I promise. And finally, do you promise to participate in life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this local church as it serves this community and the world? And again, you may respond by saying, I promise. Amen. And now, congregation, you have some vows to take as well, so all who are able, please rise and repeat after me. And mean it. We welcome you with joy.
We welcome you
in the common life of this church.
In the common life of this church.
We promise you our friendship and prayers.
We promise you our friendship and prayers.
As we share the hopes and labors. Of this community of faith.
Of this community of faith.
By the power of the Spirit.
By the power of the Spirit.
May we continue to grow together. In God's knowledge and love.
In God's knowledge and love.
Thank you, and you may be seated. You sounded like you meant it. It's always good. So, in the name of Jesus and on behalf of St. Lucas United Church of Christ, we extend to these three the hand of Christian love, welcoming them into the company of this local church. Give them a hand, folks. Thank you. Andrea, welcome aboard. David, welcome aboard. And you too, Marty, welcome aboard. Checks in the mail.
You said that last week.
I know. No, we truly do welcome you. It's a privilege and pleasure to welcome you. I'm going to uncharacteristically sit here for my sermon, not because I have an ailment, other than maybe an ailment of the mind, but I just want to do something different today. So, a guy goes into a bar, and that's the end. No, a guy goes into a bar, orders three beers. The three beers come, he drinks them. Next day, same thing. Comes in, orders three beers, and drinks all three. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next week. Until after months, the bartender wonders what's going on. So he asks him, why three beers, and why do you drink all three when you come? He said, well, I have two brothers. And it's a promise to each of us that whenever we drink, when we're apart, we will always drink three in honor of our threefold brotherhood. So we will always drink three when we order for ourselves, as long as we are apart. One day he comes in and orders only two. And the bartender kind of sheds a tear, goes to his table, gives him the two beers, and says, I'm sorry. Sorry that you have lost a brother. Pains me in the heart. I grieve with you. And the man says, oh, no, that's not a problem. Both of my brothers are fine. It's just that I myself have decided to give up drinking for Lent. Mm-hmm. So that's Lent. Time of the year to give something up, right? Mimicking the 40 days of Jesus' trial in the desert, marching his way to Jerusalem and his ultimate death. And of course, in Jewish tradition and in Christian tradition, crucifixion was a major issue. And in Christian tradition, and theology in particular, there is a redemptive value that is placed on that death. But this year, I'm taking a break from Lent. I've decided that I want to do something different. And it might be just for me, but I hope it also touches your heart as well. I want to tell you why, and that's why I'm taking this more leisurely approach. I want to tell you why I'm giving it up this year, not permanently, but this year, and what I'll be doing in its place on the Sundays of Lent. One of the reasons, of course, is because repetition makes you kind of bored. And after years and years, and in my case, many, many years, decades and decades of celebrating Lent or going through Lent, you kind of get tired of it. It's just a tradition. And you go through it kind of unthinkingly, kind of like praying the Lord's Prayer if we do it kind of without thinking. But there's even a more important reason why I'm giving it up, and that's because I'm not really happy with the theological narrative that lies at the base of Lent. The whole sin redemption mythology is something I am growingly uncomfortable with. Now, that's not to say that other people find it valuable. That's fine. I will never criticize anybody for their beliefs. I never tell people what to believe. I never criticize them for believing what they believe. But at the same time, I have to be honest and let you know what I believe. So the sin redemption myth goes something like this. Adam and Eve sinned. It was a perfect creation. Adam and Eve sinned, and everything went to hell in a handbasket, so we say. And sin demands death, because God can't stand sin, and so he requires blood to be shed, which is a symbol of death. You shed your blood, you die. So God requires a bloody sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of bulls and goats. In the New Testament, it was the Lamb of God, Jesus' own blood, that satisfies God's demand for our death. If we accept Jesus' death as our own, as the perfect bloody sacrifice, God can forgive us, and even though we still die, we will live again eternally. So that's the sin redemption narrative in a nutshell. It's what we've grown up with. It's what the church decided was the correct belief, second and third century after Jesus. They decided this was the way to go, and this was the truth. And like I said, a lot of people have found it relevant, and that's okay. Far be it from me to tell anyone what to believe. But being honest, it's a narrative that doesn't work for me anymore. And that's why Lent just doesn't work for me anymore. The more I've studied the life of Jesus, the historical Jesus, not the mythical Jesus Christ of faith, but the life of the real historical Jesus, the less that story makes sense to me. Why would God need blood to forgive us? If a son of mine offends me or sins against me, I'm not going to kill him. Of course not. We love our children. And the idea that God would send his son to die makes God the ultimate child abuser. How can I worship a God who wants his son to die so that I can live? That kind of father doesn't do much for me. Who believes any longer in original sin? I don't. I don't believe that there was an original Adam and Eve. I don't believe that there was an original sin. In fact, the whole notion of sin to me is problematic. I can say it kind of humorously in that I don't believe in sin. Of course, no one believes in sin, but I don't believe in it in the sense that traditional theology believes in it, that that is our problem. I don't believe that creation was ever perfect and complete, and then things fell apart. From an evolutionary point of view, the earth has been in evolution for 4.5 billion years. There's never been a completion to evolution. There's never been a completion to creation from which we fell. There's never been a perfection from which we fell. We're just evolving. So our basic situation in life is not sin. Our basic situation in life is nature. We are evolving with everything in the universe. And who knows what things may yet come. So, given my reservations about this Christian mythology, I'm taking a break. Without requiring you to do the same, I'm going to do something different this year, something untraditional, something unconventional, something progressive. During Lent this year, we are going to celebrate nature. We are going to celebrate nature. Think about it. It's really what the word Lent means. It points to nature. Before Lent was stolen by Christians, it simply referred to spring. Lent comes from the English word lengthen, and it referred to the lengthening of daylight hours at this time of the year. That's all it is. It's nature. It's nature coming to fruition. It's spring. The earth starts to open up, and the lengthening hours of the sunshine, creation comes alive and bursts forth. Woo! And we are reminded again of the beauty and glory of this planet. Now, our brothers and sisters down under, in Australia, New Zealand, and elsewhere, down in that area, beneath the equator, they celebrate creation during their springtime as well. Although we're in the fall of the year, they're celebrating springtime in their September, because you know the seasons are different based on the hemisphere you're in. So I want to do what they are doing. I want this to be a season of creation. In a way, we're just connecting Lent to its original meaning, the miracle of creation. We're celebrating the advent of spring. We're celebrating the advent of the sun. And isn't that beautiful? On the Sundays ahead, we're going to celebrate a series of natural topics. Next week, we begin with the planet Earth as it hangs in the sky. Then we're going to talk about the mountains. Then we're going to talk about the sky. Then we're going to talk about the forests and the trees. And then we're going to talk about Earth's fauna, that is to say, animal life. And finally, on Easter Sunday, we will celebrate what the name Sunday is all about, the sun, S-U-N, Sunday, that makes all life on Earth possible. And we're not being anti-God. We are being very pro-nature and celebrating God in nature. Because, you see, we have assumed for too long that redemption has to be a human thing, has to involve human redemption from sin. No, I think creation is also redemptive. As I look at nature, my soul is inspired, and I feel redeemed. There's a biblical support for this, by the way, and that was why I asked Brad to read from Job chapter 12. Listen to it again. Ask the animals what they think. Let them teach you. Let the birds tell you what's going on. Put your ear to the earth. Learn the basics. Listen, the fish in the ocean will tell you their stories. Isn't it clear that they all know and agree that God is sovereign? That he holds all things in his hands? Every living soul, yes, every breathing creature. So unfortunately, Lent has been taken away from us. It's been seized by early Christians to speak to a redemptive event, namely the life of Jesus. But I want to return to its original intent, a celebration of nature, because you see, nature has its own story to tell about God. It's not just Jesus that is a revelation of God. Nature also has its own story. And it can be just as redemptive as a bloody story of crucifixion. As we ponder Earth itself, our mother, we meet God, who is active everywhere and in everything. We come to know just how everything works together to support life, our life, something that we don't ponder enough. And we stand in awe. We stand in awe that after nearly 14 billion years, we're here. It took 14 billion years for atoms to come together into molecules, to come into cells, to come into you and I that are sitting here today. It took 14 billion years for you to be here at St. Lucas United Church of Christ today to celebrate that great power and sovereignty of God bringing us to this time and this place. And I want us to revel in that. So I trust you'll journey this Lenten season with me, and I trust it will be as meaningful to you as to me. I plan to learn a lot. I went to a Bible college and studied the Bible. I didn't study science. And so this is a learning experience for me. But the more I ponder science and the way things work, we had a little bit of that yesterday at the Creation Care Conference. How things work together, and how the earth is just the right distance from the sun. Not too close, not too far. All of these things, how they work together, just marvelous. So let's learn together about the natural world through which God is redemptively speaking to us. One addendum. We will still have a couple of opportunities to consider traditional themes, just not Sunday morning. This Wednesday, we will be worshiping with St. Paul's United Church of Christ. It's on Michigan Street. In their Ash Wednesday service, that's at 6 o'clock. We're going to be doing that, and our choirs are joining together to sing at that joint service. So that'll be a traditional service. Ash will be put on our foreheads to those who wish to be reminded of that symbol. So this Wednesday at 6 at St. Paul's UCC. Then every other Wednesday during Lent, we will feature a Lenten lunch. So we won't be having our traditional Bible study during Lent. We will have our Lenten lunches. So watch for those. They're in the bulletin because we put them there. On one side of the insert, you have the Lenten series. So look at that carefully, and we will be viewing episodes of my favorite show growing up, The Old Twilight Zone, which has wonderful themes relating to traditional stories about Lent, self-examination, that sort of thing. So we'll have three of those as well. So all is not lost. All is not lost. But in the meantime, on Sundays, we will listen to what God is teaching us through nature. We will put our ears to the earth and learn the basics. That's what Job asks us to do. Put your ear to the earth and learn the basics. We will again, or maybe for the first time, stand in awe of the gifts of God. God has given us so much on this third rock from the sun. Amen and amen.